Brother Donald, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr.
God bless you.
Evening, brothers and sisters. It's great to be back again with you. I was down with the ladies just a couple of weeks ago. And as Mr. Paisley said, I used to guard them for about 18 years. And, you know, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I was lost in sin and Roman Catholic tradition and so many different things. But this family that I was looking after at this time, whether I guarded them well is another thing, but I was there. I always turned up for duty anyway. But this family, this was really one of the first Christian families that I had ever seen or ever experienced. And as I used to guard there, I noticed something very, very different, something that I had never seen before in my life. And it was while I was in the place that I got moved from Strandtown Police Station to Dundonald. And this young man in the front here, Joe was moved from West Belfast at the same time. He was in the RUC along with me. And we met in Dundonald Police Station. And as soon as Joe came into the station, he says, "I'm a born-again Christian." And he really nailed his colours to the mast immediately. And he set his target for me. I was his target, really. He set his sights on me. I don't know why, but the Lord knew. And he came to me and he says to me, "Are you saved yet?" And I says, "No." I says, "I'm not." I says, "But I don't have to be. The priest has told me." I says, "What I have to do." I said, "So when I'm about 80 years of age, I'll just put my trust in Jesus then, and I'll start to read the Psalms and stop drinking, and one day I'll get to heaven." And Joe says to me, "No," he said, "it's not like that." And he took time over 2.5 years to explain exactly how to get to heaven, that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. And all I had to do was come to him, confess my sins. I didn't have to go to the priest anymore. He says, "Just come to Jesus and put your trust in him, and he will save your soul for eternity." And I went home that night, and I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately, I got a Bible. And the Lord gave me this. He gave me his word. And for the first time in my life, at the age of 38, I opened up the word of God. I didn't know that it was the word of God. I thought it was just a book that was written by some man. And I opened the word of God, and I fell in love with the word of God immediately. And I ended up reading, I read from Genesis to Revelation in 3 days. Understood absolutely nothing. Didn't care because I had the word of God. So I'd done it again, Genesis to Revelation, still understood nothing. I still don't understand too much. But you know something? We have the precious, infallible, inspired word of God, brothers and sisters, and we are privileged people with the word of God. I hope you're reading it and not just throwing it aside. Keep it in your hand and study and find out all about this God who really loved us and the Savior who gave himself for us. So it's great to be saved, brothers and sisters, isn't it? It's good to know that we're on our way to heaven. In Ukraine at the minute, it's Easter Sunday there. And usually the brothers and sisters would greet each other when they walk into church by saying, "Christos Vaskres," meaning Christ has risen from the dead. And the congregation would respond by saying, "Vaistino Vaskres," Christ Jesus has risen from the dead indeed. And brothers and sisters, that's what makes a Christian life special. Because we have a Savior who conquered death, who conquered the grave. And tonight, he's seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, interceding for us. You know, we're special people. The Word of God tells us that we're special people. And you know something? All of these false religions of the world today, they have saviors, they have gods, but they're dead and they're buried and they're in the grave, or they're made of plastic or wood. But the Savior that we have, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He's glorified, exalted, and seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven tonight. Isn't it great to know Jesus? Isn't it, brothers and sisters, to really know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and to be serving him? I hope you're giving him all that you've got. Are you serving him? Are you really getting stuck in and serving the Lord? Because he's the only one that's worth it. You know, we're serving faith, the Lord through Faith and Action Missions at the minute also. And there's wonderful things happening out there with our brothers out in Ukraine and in Belarus. And just a couple of wee things I want you to pray for. One of our brothers, Leonid, he was in a car accident 22 years ago. Now, the women know about this, but I want to tell the men, I want you to pray about this, brother. And it left him in such a position from this accident that he could no longer sit up. He had to lie in his stomach, and he's been lying in his stomach for 23 years. And just a couple of months ago when I was out with him, he lives in a wee village in a wee shack, and he says to me, "Donald," he said, "I want to be able to serve the Lord more." I said, "Sure, you're doing a great job." He works at the computer typing out texts, and the church hang it round the village for him for the unbelievers to read. I said, "You're doing a great job." He said, "I want to do more." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He says, "I'm going to get both legs amputated." so that I can serve my Savior. And I looked at him, I didn't know what to say. Totally committed, brothers and sisters, to the Savior. And already, just within that short couple of months, both legs have come off. This man is on fire for his Savior. Amen. He sat up for the first time in 23 years. He sat up for 2.5 hours. And see, when this brother gets out in among them, the world's going to be a better place. So pray for Leonid that the Lord will bring him back to full recovery after those amputations. Amen. And he'll get out there and he'll win souls for his Savior. At the same time, we're building a church. Mr. Paisley said about a free will offering. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord for that. We're building a little church out there on the Ukrainian-Russian border. Our brothers and sisters are reaching into the gypsy villages and anybody else who needs to hear the gospel. They're reaching right in. They're about 10 kilometers only from the Russian border. They have a small church. Now, it's just a small hall, very, very small. But souls are being saved. They can't even get into the building. It's a great problem, isn't it, having too many souls coming. And we decided that we would pray with the pastor of the church, and we prayed with Nikolai on the piece of land, and we prayed that the Lord would provide everything that was needed. Very quickly, the Lord provided £80,000. So the Lord wants this house put up, and we're only about £12,000 or £13,000 short. Anything that comes in over the trip will be going to build a new house for our brothers and sisters there in Ukraine. But it's not about us tonight. I want to invite Pastor Sasha. He's the pastor of a little Baptist church out there in Ukraine. They have taken a tough stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've suffered terrible persecutions over the years. I'm going to invite Fyodor also from Belarus, another country that suffered terribly. When I was out there a few weeks ago, there's a forest about 20 minutes from where we work. And he took me into this forest. And there's over 200,000 believers dead and buried within this forest from during the days of communism, taken there and slaughtered and just left under the trees and under the dirt of the earth. Every meter there's a cross has been put surrounding this massive forest just to commemorate the lives of the Christians who gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Sasha is going to come and talk to you about. He wants to encourage you that no matter who you are, whether you're walking with the Lord, whether you're in a backslidden state tonight, or maybe you're sitting here tonight thinking that Christianity is maybe a crutch. You know something, when you're saved, you don't know what you're going to be saved into. It could be a life of persecution. Believe me, it's no crutch. The alcohol's a crutch. The drink and the drugs are crutches. But Jesus Christ is able to save you from every crutch that maybe you're involved in here tonight. So Pastor Sasha and Ted, I want to leave it to them.
Дорогие друзья, я очень благодарен Богу за то, что могу быть в этом общении.
Dear brothers and sisters, I am thankful to God that I can be in this congregation.
Я хочу прочитать два места из Священного Писания.
I want to read two passages from scriptures.
Первое место записано первое послание Коринфянам, 15 глава, 3-4 стих.
First passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
И второе место, записанное послание Римлянам, 8 глава, с 35 по 39 стих.
And the second passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Сегодня у нас на Украине, в России празднуют величайший праздник христианства, праздник, который прославил и возвеличил нашего Господа, славное воскресение Иисуса Христа.
Today in Russia, Ukraine and Belarus, people are celebrating the greatest day of resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
И мне хочется задать вопрос, здесь все верят в то, что Иисус Христос воскрес?
And I want to ask a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose again?
Да.
Do you believe it?
У нас есть одно очень хорошее поздравление. Мы в этот день говорим «Христос воскрес!»
Usually we say, this day we say this, Christ is risen from the dead.
И кто верит, что Он воскрес, говорит «Воистину воскрес!»
And those who believe that He is risen, they answer, He is risen indeed.
И я хочу всех вас поздравить. Христос воскрес!
And I want to say, Christ is risen.
Аминь!
Amen.
Друзья мои, сегодня я хочу проповедовать о великих делах Иисуса Христа.
My dear friends, I want to preach today about great things of Jesus Christ.
Я думаю, что многие из вас слышали о том, что были гонения в Советском Союзе.
And I know that many of you have heard that there were persecutions in Soviet Union.
И я хочу сказать, что церковь выстояла не потому, что там были сильные мужчины или женщины.
And I want to tell you that Church was able to take its stand not because there were believers.
Но потому, что вот здесь апостол Павел пишет в послании Римлянам 37 стих. Но все сие преодолеваем силой возлюбившего нас.
But because in Romans 8, verse 37, it says, In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Мы вошли в Его победу.
We came in His victory.
Мы даже с вами больше победили, чем победители.
We are more than conquerors.
Потому что мы вошли в победу Иисуса Христа.
Because we entered into the victory of Jesus Christ.
Слава Ему.
And praise and glory be unto Him.
И я хочу сказать, привести несколько примеров из жизни, что пришлось перенести детям Божьим в России.
And I want to give you some examples what children of God in Soviet Union had to go through.
Тогда, когда КГБ всячески применяло методы для того, чтобы уничтожить церковь.
When KGB was doing its best to destroy the church.
Тогда, когда президент нашей страны, самый первое лицо нашей страны сказал, что он покажет последнего верующего по телевизору.
When a leader of our country said that he will show the last believer on the TV.
Сегодня я стою перед вами, и я живой свидетель, что Иисус Христос жив.
But today I'm standing in front of you, and I'm a living testimony to say that Jesus Christ is alive.
Я родился девятым ребенком в христианской семье.
I was the ninth child in my family, in a Christian family.
И когда я был совсем маленьким, то детей не пускали в церковь.
And when I was a child, children were not allowed to come to church services. It was forbidden by the Soviet government.
На дверях стояли мужчины и говорили детям, нет места в церкви.
And there were people standing on the entrance of every church, and they were saying that there is no place for children in the church.
И они не знали, что они стали против Бога.
And they didn't even knew that they were standing against God.
Были настоящие дети Божьи, братья, сестры, которые возревновали и собирали детские группы, собирали тех, кого не пускали в церкви, по домам.
But there were true children of God. True men and women of God who were gathering children for special children services at homes.
Именно благодаря вот таким общениям, которые были запрещены государству, сегодня церковь живет.
And because of this fellowship that was forbidden by the government, now church is alive because of that.
Хотя многих братьев и сестер за то, что они продолжали сами поклоняться живому Богу и учили этому детей, сажали в тюрьмы.
Although many brothers and sisters, they were put into prisons because they were serving the Lord and they were doing the God's work.
Я вспоминаю историю одной сестры, которая ходит в нашу церковь. Она рассказывала, что ей удалось пройти незаметно в церковь, в дом молитвы и спрятаться под последнюю лавку.
I remember a story of our sister who is coming to our church. She was telling us when she was a child, she was able to sneak to the church and she hid it under the pew.
Но подошел один пожилой мужчина, говорит, выходи, тебе здесь места нет.
But one minister came up to her and he said, come out, there is no place for you.
Ты не можешь быть здесь, потому что церковь закроют.
You cannot be here because church will be closed because of you.
И была очень сильная борьба, чтобы сохранить наследие, чтобы сохранить детей для Господа.
And there was a big battle to keep children for the Lord.
Некоторых пасторов церквей сажали в тюрьмы за то, что они продолжали и пускать детей в церковь и пускать молодежь в церковь.
Some pastors had to be in prison. They were sent to prison because they continued to involve children and youth in church services.
Я знаю одного пастора, который пускал детей в церковь и своих детей водил.
And I know one pastor who was allowing children in the church and he was taking his children to his church.
Их дом молитвы закрыли, и тогда он начал приглашать к себе домой.
His church was closed, but he continued and he was inviting people to his house, to his home.
Он вынес из дому всю мебель.
He took all the furniture away.
Для того, чтобы могла церковь поместиться у него в доме.
To have more space in his house so that the church would be able to come.
Его вызвали в КГБ и говорят, мы тебе не разрешаем собираться.
He was called out to KGB and they told him, we do not allow you to gather in your house, to gather the church in your house.
А через полгода его и других служителей посадили в тюрьму.
And in a half a year, him and other ministers were sent to prison.
Ему дали 5 лет лагерей и потом 5 лет ссылки на Дальнем Севере.
He had to spend 5 years in prison and then 5 years of exile in Siberia.
5 лет он не видел ни жену, ни детей.
For 5 years he wasn't able to see his wife and his children and even he was not able to hear from them.
5 лет он не мог переписываться со своей семьей, ему не отдавали письма.
And he couldn't even keep in touch with them through writing through the letters because he was not allowed to do so.
И несколько раз жена привозила ему продукты передать в тюрьму. И ей приходилось почти 5 дней ехать поездом. Потом 200 километров ехала на автобусе и примерно 15 километров она шла по лесу, чтобы попасть в лагерь, где сидел ее муж.
And his wife was sometimes tried to bring some food provision to him and she had to travel 5 days on a train. Then she had to travel about 200 kilometers. It is approximately 150 miles on the bus. And then she had to walk through a forest for 10 miles in order to get to her husband.
И когда она приходила в тюрьму, ей начальник говорит, мы не можем дать продукты твоему мужу.
And when she came there, she was told, we cannot pass this food provision to your husband.
Он не исправляется.
Because he doesn't get better, his behavior doesn't get better.
Она просила, ну дайте хоть мне 5 минут с ним поговорить, увидеть его лицом к лицу.
And she was asking them, allow me to see him at least for 5 minutes, to see him face to face.
Ей не разрешали.
She was not allowed.
И я скажу, вот такие братья, они были примером для нас, для молодежи.
And I want to tell you that those days, such brothers were an example for us, for young people.
Я вспоминаю, когда я был уже молодым, мы собирались в лесах для того, чтобы иметь общение.
And I remember when I was a teenager, we were gathering in forests with young people in order to have a proper Christian fellowship.
Летом было хорошо на природе.
It was good to gather in a forest on summers.
А зимой, когда у нас выпадает примерно около метра снега, а иногда и больше.
But on winter, when we have about meter or even higher of snow,
мы вынуждены были тоже собираться в лесах, потому что на домах приезжала милиция, разгоняли
and
эти собрания.
In the freezing cold weather, we had to gather in forests because police would often come into our homes and houses, and they didn't allow us to gather there.
Но мы все равно были рады, потому что мы могли поклоняться живому Богу.
But we were happy because we were able to worship our alive God.
Мы были рады, потому что мы жили, Христос говорил, гнали пророков, бывших прежде вас, и вас будут гнать.
And we were happy because we lived. And as Jesus said, that the prophets were persecuted. And you will also be persecuted.
И я скажу, когда в лесу мы пели гимн «Люблю Господь твой дом», мы не думали о доме, о каком-то здании. Мы знали, что дом – это церковь.
And when we were singing in the forest, we have a hymn called «I love your house, O Lord». We knew that we didn't sing about buildings, but we knew that this house, the Lord's house, is the church.
Однажды мы проводили большое евангелизационное молодежное общение в лесу.
I remember we were doing an evangelical fellowship in forest.
И когда мы начали петь христианские гимны,
and when we started to sing Christian hymns,
мы услышали звук летящего над нами вертолета.
We heard a helicopter.
Оказывается, милиция для того, чтобы найти нас в лесу, взяла для этого вертолет.
So police, in order to find us, they took a helicopter.
И потом с вертолета сообщила, где мы находимся, и милиция окружила нас на автобусах.
And then police informed the road police, and so police surrounded us in the forest.
Но все равно мы радовались, потому что за имя Господа мы могли пострадать.
But we were rejoicing because we were suffering for the name of the Lord.
Сегодня у нас у каждого есть Библия, правда?
Today each of us has an opportunity to have the Bible. Is that true?
Yes. Мне очень приятно, что здесь в церквях вы читаете, открываете Библию и читаете.
And this is a big pleasure for me to see that you can open your Bibles and to read it in the churches.
В наших церквях была одна Библия на всю семью.
In times of Soviet Union, we had a Bible, the Bible, one Bible for a family.
И то не каждая семья имела свою Библию.
And not every family was able to have it's their own Bible.
Некоторые переписывали Библию от руки.
Some families were rewriting Bibles by hand. They were copying it by hand.
Для того, чтобы иметь свое Слово Божие, для того, чтобы читать его.
To have their own Word of God, in order so that they would be able to read it every day.
Однажды к нам привезли из-за границы друзья, нелегально перевезли несколько сотен Библий и Новых Заветов.
Once our friends from abroad, they brought through the border illegally few hundreds of New Testaments and Bibles.
И для нас это было большим ободрением, большой радостью, что мы, молодые христиане, можем получить свою Библию.
And that was a big encouragement for us because we could get our own Bible.
И я скажу, для нас это было очень большим подарком.
And I want to tell you that it was a great gift for us.
Я знаю, что некоторые жители Северной Ирландии тоже нелегально перевозили Библию в Польшу, в Венгрию.
And I know that some people of Northern Ireland, they were taking Bibles illegally to Hungary and to Poland.
И я скажу, это огромная помощь, огромная поддержка.
And I want to tell you that it was a great help for us.
Но за то, что мы имели эти Библии, когда в наших семьях делались обыски, то полностью все забиралось и сажали в тюрьмы тех, кто имел Слово
But
Божие.
But when we had these Bibles and our houses, our homes were searched, the Bibles were confiscated, and those who had the Bibles, they were sent to prisons.
В соседней церкви есть мой друг, который отец которого был пастором.
There is a friend in one of the churches in Kharkov in Ukraine whose father was a pastor of a church.
И он рассказывал, когда арестовали отца.
And this friend of mine, he told me the story of his father, and he said when his father was arrested,
его отправили на далекий север работать на лесоповале в тайге.
He was sent to northeast of Russia to work in Siberia.
И работа была очень тяжелая, и оплатой за эту работу было питание каждый день, то, что им давали.
He was working in forest in Siberia. It was work. And the payment for his work was the food that he was eating.
Если ты не выполняешь определенный план, то тебе не давали кушать
and
или давали
you
меньше.
And if were not doing the amount of work that is needed to be done, then you wouldn't get the amount of food that's supposed to to be given to a prisoner, it would be a lot less, smaller.
И этого брата Захара сильно притесняли, потому что он был христианин.
This brother, whose name was Zahar, he was persecuted because he was a Christian. He was persecuted in prison.
Однажды надзиратель говорит, протяни правую руку.
Once a guard told him to put out his right hand.
Он протянул, и надзиратель металлическим прутом перебил ему руку.
He put his hand out, and this guard broke his hand with an iron rod.
Он говорит, протяни вторую руку.
He told him to do the same with another hand.
Он протянул вторую руку.
He put out his left hand.
И вторую руку перебил надзиратель
and
прутом.
And his left hand was broken with this iron rod.
А потом надзиратель повернулся и говорит, а теперь я посмотрю, как тебя твой Бог кормить будет.
And then this guard told him, now I will watch how your God will feed you.
Братья, которые сидели в этом лагере, начали делиться пайкой, продуктами своими.
Fellow brothers in Christ, they were sharing their food with him.
Но работа была очень тяжелая, и Захар увидел, что силы братьев слабеют.
And the work was very difficult. And this man, Захар, he saw that brothers were getting weaker and weaker because they didn't get enough food because they were sharing with him.
Он говорит, Господи, забери меня с этой земли.
He went aside a little bit from where they were working, and he said, Lord, please take me home. Take me from this earth.
Я болею, и братьям моим тяжело, потому что им приходится отдавать часть
Because
своей пищи.
Because my hands are broken and I cannot work. And brothers, they are sharing their food with me. And they get weaker because of that.
Когда он стоял на коленях, он услышал голос. Пойди на поляну, и там возьми кусок, и там ты найдешь пищу.
When he was praying on his knees, the Lord told him in his heart, go to a certain place and you will find food there.
Когда он пошел на эту поляну, он увидел целую буханку хлеба.
When he went there, he saw a loaf of bread.
Он не поверил, он подошел, взял хлеб, и слезы потекли из его глаз.
He couldn't believe that. He came up to it and he took this loaf of bread and he started to cry.
Он говорит, Господи, я тебе очень благодарен.
He said, Lord, I am thankful to you.
Он разделил этот хлеб с братьями.
He broke this bread with brothers.
И так Бог посылал каждый день хлеб, пока у него руки не окрепли.
And God was sending this bread to him every day before until he got better. And this man said that he by that time he never knew until his death he never knew who was providing this bread on this earth. I mean, he knew that it was God, but who was bringing this bread, he didn't know. It was a miracle.
И я скажу, это одно из тех немногих свидетельств, как Господь, живой Господь, защищает и заботится о своих детях.
And I want to tell you that it is one of the testimonies how God is taking care of His children.
Я вспоминаю историю моего друга. Он мой ровесник, а отец у него был пастор. И 10 лет он не видел своего отца.
I remember a story of my friend who is the same age as I am, and he was telling me that he didn't see his father for 10 years.
Он не помнил его, когда отца забрали, Вениамин был маленький.
He didn't remember when his father was taken to prison because he was small. He didn't remember him.
И когда отец вернулся, он был уже подростком.
And when father returned, he was a teenager.
И он зашел домой, смотрит какой-то мужчина.
This boy came in the house and he saw a man.
И он говорит, сынок, иди ко мне, я твой отец.
And this man is saying, son, come to me, I'm your daddy.
Он говорит, дяденька, я вас не знаю.
But the boy was answering him, sir, I don't know you.
Подошла мать, обняла и говорит, сынок, это твой папа вернулся домой.
And then his mom came up and she hugged him and she said, son, this is your father who came back home.
И я скажу, друзья, что на сегодняшний день вот эти гонения, вот эти притеснения, они есть.
And friends, I want to tell you that this day there are persecutions.
Дьявол, он не изменился.
Devil hasn't changed. He's still the same.
Он преследует церковь.
He is persecuting the church.
И недавно приехал из Таджикистана к нам в церковь один миссионер, которого выдворили из Таджикистана.
And one missionary came to our church recently, who was forced to leave Tajikistan.
И он рассказывал о том, что сегодня гонения очень сильные в Таджикистане.
And he was telling us that there are hard persecutions in Tajikistan today.
Я думаю, друзья мои, что сегодня каждый из вас, живущий в этой стране, тоже встречается с искушениями разными и с борьбой духовной.
And I want to say that, my friends, all of you, every one of you meet different temptations and problems in your life.
Но Христос сегодня живой.
But Christ is living today.
И никто не может нас отделить от любви Его.
And no one can separate us from His love.
Есть моменты, когда христианин, имея вот эту борьбу, разочаровывается в вере.
And there are moments when they see this battle, when they are struggling, they get disappointed in their faith.
Но это происходит именно тогда, когда человек смотрит не на Христа, а смотрит на вот эти трудности, вот эти переживания.
But it happens when a person pays attention to the difficulties, but not Christ.
39 стих, 8 глава послания Римлянам. Здесь последние стихи этой главы говорят так. Кто может нас отлучить от любви Божией во Христе Иисусе?
But никто не может там.
Да, да, да.
But there is in verse 39, chapter 8 of Romans, there is written that no one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Именно во Христе Иисусе.
In Christ Jesus.
Может быть, дорогой друг, в твоем сердце сейчас тоже происходит борьба.
Maybe, my dear friend, you have a struggle in your heart. You have a battle in your heart.
Может быть, сейчас ты тоже в каком-то отчаянном состоянии и в сильных переживаниях.
Maybe you are desperate and maybe you are worrying about something.
Иисус Христос жив.
But Jesus Christ is alive.
И в Нем, только в Нем ты сможешь преодолеть все искушения, все испытания.
But in Him and only in Him you can go, you can overcome all the temptations and trials.
И если у тебя есть эти проблемы, сегодня обратись к Нему.
And you have, if you have problems, if you have these troubles, please turn back to Jesus.
Скажи, Иисус, я устал, я уже не могу, я нету силы бороться.
Tell to Jesus that you are exhausted, that you have no strength to struggle.
Я в тебе хочу, я хочу войти в твою победу и быть больше, чем победитель.
And tell him that you want to enter into his victory to be more than a conqueror.
Пусть Господь благословит вас.
May the Lord bless you.
Аминь.
Amen.
He told his brothers and sisters about the Christians that were taken from one of the death camps and put onto two barges, and they took them out to sea, and they scuttled one of them with thousands of believers on it. And as the boat was sinking with the Christians on it, the other barge was full of believers just calling out to them to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. One KGB man who was responsible for this was so affected by this that why are these people dying? Why are they calling out to this God like this? So much so that he repented on the spot, put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and became a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, before we finish, this is what it's all about here. This is the persecuted Bible. This is the Word of God. This is what they died in their hundreds of thousands for. You know, Isaiah 46, 48 tells us that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. No matter who stands against the Word of God, they can't destroy it. They destroyed them in their hundreds of thousands. And today, this is the persecuted church Bible. This is the Gospel of John. Indestructible as the Word of God. And I mean literally. They've made it in such a way, it took four teams to put this together. The first team went in search of the paper. Not ordinary paper, plastic, so that they couldn't burn it. They've boiled it in soup to hide it from the KGB and everything, so they have. They've hid it in pots of jam. They've put it in boiling water, and it comes out intact. They continue to read it. You know something, the first team went in search of the plastic paper. The second team put the scriptures on. The third team put the binding on. And the fourth team handed it and smuggled it in to the believers and put the gospels into the hands of the Christians, wherever they were. One believer was in prison, and as the KGB came to search his cell, he had nowhere to hide it except for a pot of jam. He put it into the pot of jam and hid it there. KGB searched his cell. They couldn't find any Bibles. And when they left, he took it out of the pot of jam, wiped it clean, and continued to read it. Brothers and sisters, we must take our stand for the Word of God. Today, the Word of God is under severe attack throughout the world. Even here in Belfast, Northern Ireland, we're still under attack. Our schools have thrown the Word of God out. The hospitals, the you name it, the hotels, everywhere, the Word of God is being attacked. And you know something? In this battle, there's no middle ground. There's no neutrality. There's either our Lord Jesus Christ or Satan. Now, whose side are you on tonight? Who are you standing on? Are you on the rock, Christ Jesus, or has Satan still got you? Are you on your way to hell still tonight? You must take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never taken that stand and put your trust in him, don't believe in this building tonight without him. And another thing, if you are saved here tonight, and maybe you're walking at a distance, maybe you've lost your first love, you've went cold in the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, get back. Jesus Christ is your only hope in this earth. You know, there was a cry went forth away back in the 16th century. And that cry was that salvation is found in Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Why? To the glory of our great God alone. Please, friends, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, do you stand fast for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother didn't have much time to talk to you tonight, but you know something, they died in their hundreds of thousands for the sake of the gospel. Please take your stand for the Word of God and take every opportunity to tell people that the Lord loved them and that he died for them. Amen.
We do thank our brethren for their testimonies, and I trust that we love the Word of the living God. I always write on my Bible that I'm reading the words of a great text. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 24, verse 12. And that's what we should do. We should say, I'll go hungry, but I'll not go without the Word of God. And this Word needs to be let loose across our people and in our hearts, because the Word of God abideth forever. Amen. No fire can burn it. No prison can shut it up. It stands forever sure. And thank God it shall prevail. And if you're not depending on the rock tonight, leave the sinking sands of unbelief and put your 2 feet upon God's rock of ages, and you will know the steadying, saving power of the gospel of Christ.